Hey, let me ask you a simple but for many people a very profound question. And the question is this, do you struggle with the assurance of salvation? You know, as a pastor and involved in biblical counseling and so forth with the folks that are in my own congregation as well as folks sometimes outside of the congregation as well, this is a real struggle for many, many Christians. Many Christians struggle with the concept about whether or not they are truly in the faith, whether or not they have come to Christ legitimately, and whether or not they are truly one of His, whether they're one of the elect or one of the sheep, one of Christ's people, one of the part of the Israel of God, and so forth. So they struggle with these questions. So I was very pleased when I saw that a brand new book is being released by Reformation Heritage Books. Their website is heritagebooks.org. And this book deals with this particular subject that we're talking about. The book is entitled Faith Seeking Assurance. And it's part of the Puritan Treasures for Today series put out by Reformation Heritage Books. This is the author of the book is a Puritan from the 1700s. And Anthony Burgess and Dr. Joel Beakey is the editor of the book. The book's description says this. It says it's not uncommon for professing Christians to question the genuineness of their faith. In seasons like this, they can wonder whether it is even possible to know for sure that they are in a state of saving grace. And therefore, in this book, then, this book seeks to help them with that struggle. Joining us now is Dr. Joel Beakey.
Happy to join you today, Kevin.
Oh, great. President of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary, and he's also the pastor of Heritage Netherlands Reformed Congregation in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Now I have it in front of me. Dr. Beakey, I wanted to ask you about why this book, why you felt it was so important to write or to edit what Burgess has written here. I said a little bit in the introduction, but if you just would develop that a little bit further about why this is such an important subject.
Yes, well, Kevin, when I was doing my doctoral dissertation back in the 1980s, I was ready to hand it in, and I came across this marvelous little treatise of Anthony Burgess. Actually, it's the first 60 pages, for the most part, of a larger treatise. And I just felt like I hit a gold mine. I had read 25 to 50 different Puritans on assurance of faith, and I thought this was the very best. But ever since the 80s, I wanted to make it more accessible to people. And so when we started this series, Puritan Treasures for Today, about 6 years ago, one of my convictions from the very beginning was I just wanted to find some time to edit this so it would come across in contemporary language to people, because Burgess is a pretty tough read in his original. And so we kept exactly the same content, but it reads now like it was written yesterday. And it's just a wonderful summary of distinguishing faith and assurance and then emphasizing the need for growing in assurance and how to do it, how to cultivate it, how to get it back when you lose it, and at what foundations do you get it? That's where Burgess really excels. How do you get it?
Now, was he involved in the Westminster Confession of Faith as well?
Yes. He's one of the 100 Puritans that participated there, and he wrote about 13 or 14 major treatises in about a 10-year period, which bridges over those 1640s when he was at Westminster. So he was there, but he was also doing a lot of writing on the side.
I was reading a little, this was kind of a summary of what the Westminster Confession of Faith in Chapter 18 says about this subject, but it says this, the certainty of being in the state of grace is the full assurance of faith founded upon the divine truth, of the promises of salvation, the inward evidences of those graces, and the testimony of the Spirit of adoption, witnessing with our spirits that we are the children of God. And so he points to at least three different areas and ways that we can, it's actually the Westminster Divines themselves collectively, but pointing to at least three different areas or ways that we can know about the assurance of salvation. Are those three ways then that are found in the confession itself, are those the three ways that are expounded upon in his book?
Yes, precisely. Burgess follows that same pattern. And what the Westminster Divines are saying and Burgess is saying is two of the ways are your daily meat and potatoes, if you will, or your daily diet for growing in assurance. And the third way is more or less like a dessert. The first two ways, number one, is your divine promises. So you get assurance the same way you get faith. You trust in the promises alone for salvation. That's your primary ground of assurance. God's word, God's son, God's faithful, all his promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. But then, you see, the problem the Puritans face is there are millions and millions of people around the world who say, oh yeah, I believe all the promises of the Bible are for me, I believe all the warnings of the Bible are for other people, and they go on and live their lives in a very worldly, essential, God-dishonoring way. So you also need to have that corroborated in your own conscience, that you need to have these inward evidences of grace, things like the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, and Galatians 5:22-23, the fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, self-control, and things like that. So what the Puritans said was, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, and you get down on your knees and you just pray for light and insight. You ask him to help you. Then you go to the Word, you find these different marks of, or evidences of grace, like the Beatitudes, and you ask yourself the question, do I, by the grace of God, hunger and thirst after the righteousness of Christ? For example, that's the fourth Beatitude. And if you then you say, in all honesty, by the grace of God, I cannot deny that in my life I hunger and thirst after the righteousness of Christ, and Christ is everything to me, and his righteousness is my only hope for salvation. You can say that honestly to yourself. You then can conclude, I do have assurance, because I cannot deny his work. So it's kind of what they call the reflective act of assurance. You reflect on what the Holy Spirit has done for you, and as you do that, you conclude that you are a child of God. Now, those two kinds of assurance in the promises of God, assurance through the inward evidences of grace, those are your basic kinds of assurance. And then they said, in addition to that, there is what they call the direct testimony of the Holy Spirit. And some of them said, including Burgess, this is nothing else but the inward evidences of grace in which the Holy Spirit witnesses with my spirit, that is, he witnesses in my conscience through this reflect act that I am indeed a child of God. Other Puritans said, well, the direct testimony of the Holy Spirit is that, but it's also something else. He can take the word in particular texts in the Bible, for example, maybe, my son, thy sins are forgiven thee, or so, and he can apply that word directly to your soul from the Word of God, and that can buttress and strengthen your assurance. And so that's kind of like a dessert, something on top of it that is important as well.
So there is this objective aspect of it where you're looking outside of yourself, you're looking at the work of Christ and the promises of Christ, and you're finding that as your foundation then, first and foremost. So I get somebody coming to me as a pastor, and they say, I'm not sure if I'm saved. So I go through and I show them the promises of Christ, the person and the work of Christ, and I point them, first of all, objectively. But then secondly, if I understand you correctly, then we look subjectively, and they look at their life, and do these things, does it resonate with your soul? Is there, do you see, you pointed to hungering and thirsting after Christ. Is there any hunger for the things of Christ? Is there any thirsting after Christ? Do these things really resonate with your own personal experience with Christ as well? And so there would be this subjective aspect. And then you talked about the Spirit's role after that. I find in the folks that I speak to, it's in that subjective part, because even though I can point them to see that there is some hungering and thirsting, it seems to be the level of it that they really struggle with. Well, yes, I do hunger for the things of Christ, but I don't hunger as much as I ought to hunger for the things of Christ. I am thirsty, like Psalm 42 would say, or 42, I believe, or 42, and it says, but I don't thirst after Christ the way that I wish that I would. Speak to that issue a little bit. How do we answer a person then when they say, yeah, I have a little bit, but not very much. Maybe I'm not really saved.
Yeah, Theodore Beza, William Perkins, and then Burgess pick up on a really interesting concept here. They compare it to a woman's necklace around her neck, and they say, picture every link in that chain to be one mark of grace. Now, if you can pull on one of those links and say, yes, I know this particular mark of grace. For example, the Epistle of John, First Epistle of John, is full of these marks of grace.
Mm-hmm.
And John says, we know we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. So you ask yourself, do I have a special inward love for the people of God? Are they really my closest friends in this world? Do I really cherish them because they have the same life, the same desires, same hatred, same love, same fears, same joys that I have? If you can say yes to that without reservation, you see, then you pull on that link on the chain. And what Burgess says is, when you do that, there's a tug on all the other links as well, so that even if you can't, if you wake up this morning and you can't see, for example, that or feel a particular hunger and thirst after Christ's righteousness, all those other things are there because the seeds of them all are laying in your soul, because when God converts someone, he does a complete work. So the idea is not that you can go from mark of grace to mark of grace and say, you know, I've got large measures of them all. In fact, they warn against that. They say, if you could probably say that, you're probably a Pharisee. you just think the world of yourself. And one mark of grace is that you're humble and you realize that you haven't arrived in all these marks of grace in large measures. So they encourage you, but this way, and they say, you know, assurance is a growing process. Assurance isn't something... See, they compared assurance to a sailboat going in full gale. Assurance is absolutely wonderful. It's something overwhelming. It's something very, very special. But you can also have it, you know, you can go out and sail in days where the wind is blowing, but it's not quite as strong. That doesn't mean you don't have any assurance or any fullness, but it's at a lesser level. And so by using these three grounds of assurance, the promises, the inward evidences, and the testimony of the Holy Spirit, you aim to grow in assurance. And so all your lifetime, it's a growing process. Now, when you sin, when you backslide, what happens is the ground you've gained in assurance often recedes, because you can't persist in high levels of assurance when you persist in low levels of obedience.
Mm-hmm.
So your walk of life with the Lord, your daily use of the means of grace, being in the Word, being in prayer, this is naturally going to impact your assurance. So, for example, if I say to you, you know, Kevin, I've got this wonderful relationship of the wife. I'm totally assured of my love for her and her love for me. It's just great. We have a great relationship. You say, well, how much do you talk together in a given day? And I say, well, you know, I spend 2 or 3 minutes with her a day.
Mm-hmm.
You say, oops, that can't be a great relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same way the Puritan said and Burgess said in your relationship with Jesus Christ.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the necessity of it then. Is assurance a necessity of salvation? Can a person be truly saved but not have the assurance of their salvation?
Yes, to the latter question. You can be truly saved, and there are many tender souls. Often it depends a bit, too, on a person's character. A person can be very humble by his ongoing sin, his struggles with Romans 7, O wretched man that I am, the good that I would, I find myself not doing, the evil that I would not, I find myself doing, who shall deliver me from this body of death, that type of thing. The burden the believer feels with indwelling sin in certain people can so overwhelm them that they say, I just can't possibly be a child of God and have these struggles with the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and so on. And so it's quite possible to have, in fact, the Puritans would say, most Christians who have saving faith don't have full measures of assurance yet. They may have some degree of assurance. That would be normative. But the fulsome kind of assurance, which they would define this way, if you have a fulsome degree of assurance, you are longing for Christ to come. You can't wait to be with him. You are full of missionary zeal. You see every unconverted person as a mission field. Your mouth is open for Christ. You're pregnant with the fruits of the Spirit. Christ is consciously, daily, intentionally number one in your life. You know, it's a very rich, full thing. And today, when many people talk about assurance, I think they just really mean, I think I've got some degree of faith, and they don't really understand what the Puritans were talking about when they spoke of full assurance of faith.
In the book that we're talking about, dealing with the subject of assurance of faith, in fact, maybe I better remind the listening audience of that as well. We're talking with Dr. Joel Beakey about Faith Seeking Assurance, which is part of the Puritan Treasures for Today series. And that book is dealing with the subject, obviously, of the assurance of faith. It was a book that was written by Anthony Burgess, a Puritan writer, but edited by Dr. Joel Beakey, who we're speaking with on the program today. He's the president of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary. He's also the pastor of Heritage Netherlands Reformed Congregation in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And so we're talking about this book and all the issues revolving around the subject of the assurance of salvation. Let me ask you, Burgess in the book talks about remedies for carnal confidence and directions to the godly who lack assurance. So there is, people can gather to themselves, he refers to it here as carnal confidence. Let's talk about that a little bit. What are some of these carnal confidences that we can have or build that we could lean upon? And what are some of the ways that we should do away with those and look more towards what the Scripture shows us to be true assurance?
Yes, well, Burgess would say some things that some people, some Christians today, you know, would find a little bit hard to swallow, but I think that are very important in our secular age. For one thing, he would say, our carnal confidence would be just saying, okay, I believe the objective promises of God, but then living in a worldly way. He'd say, that's just historical knowledge in your head about the promises. You don't really have a saving faith relationship with Jesus Christ and those promises because your life betrays you. You're just living for this world. And so a kind of a shallow confession of, oh, yes, I've accepted Jesus. Oh, yeah, I'm a sinner. But there's not a burning hatred for sin. There's not a passionate love for Christ. There's not a yearning desire for living a life of holiness and gratitude and sanctification. You see, where these things are missing, then Burgess would say, you would do well to question your entire salvation. So going back to what you said a moment before, Kevin, I agree with everything you said about a good summary of the three grounds, but the Puritans would also stress that even though the promises are objective, and that's your foundation, you also need to know how those promises are worked out in your soul and how they need to become precious to you on a subjective level. Otherwise, you just have a mind-only kind of Christianity.
Burgess, so then, once you, I'm sorry,
okay, go ahead.
I was just going to ask you, the previous chapter to the one I just mentioned about the remedies of carnal confidence, he talks about the difference then between true assurance and presumption. So people can presume to be saved. This has got to be the worst possible thing that could happen to a soul, to presume that he is saved and then to stand before God on that day and hear, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you." That picture that's given to us in the Word of God, where they are even trying to make the case for what they did for Christ and so forth, but then he just casts them away and says, "I never knew you." So the presumption, people can presume to be saved and not truly be saved, right?
That's correct, and that's a very important issue with all the Puritans, actually, because they're saying this. You know, you've got one soul to gain or lose for never any eternity, and you better be sure that you're in Christ. And if your religion is largely self-centered, if your life is fundamentally on the trajectory of worldliness, if you think that God is blessing you because you prosper your business and you go to church regularly and therefore you're saved, and you've been baptized, and you go to the Lord's Supper, and you find worth and merit in these things somehow, rather than in Christ alone, there's you know, a high probability that you're just presuming salvation. For the Puritan mind, if you're genuinely saved, Jesus Christ is preeminent. He's not just the one you accept in a moment and then discard as you go about your lifestyle and just go through the outward motions. But it's a real, living, vital union with Jesus, which promotes a daily communion with him through his word and through prayer and things like that. So they would say, if you don't have a brokenness over sin and a passionate love for Christ, you better search your conscience and get in the word and ask yourself, are you presuming faith? Now, the problem with so many of these people, of course, and there are millions of them today, I'm sure the Puritans would say, they not only presume it, they think they've got full assurance because they rely on these objective promises. They think everything is well with their soul. It's great. They're on their way to heaven. They got heaven in one hand, and they embrace the world with the other hand. And Burgess would call these people hypocrites and say, you need to be humbled. You need to be broken. You need to repent. You need to come to true saving faith in Christ. And you need to live a lifestyle in which the trajectory is toward godliness and sanctification.
Mm. The real activity then that needs to take place is the examining of ourselves, right? Like the scripture encourages us to examine ourselves to make sure that we are in the faith. Burgess deals with that as well.
That's right. Self-examination is very, very important. You should never do it apart from calling on the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and you should never do it apart from the Word of God, because then, as Calvin said, it will just be sure damnation to yourself. You'll just see no hope in yourself at all. But through the Word, by the Spirit, grounded in Christ, you examine yourself for those marks of grace. And Burgess makes a good point of this, too, which is very important. You place yourself under a soul-searching ministry. You sit under a minister who isn't just fluffy and just isn't there to try to give you a bunch of comfort every week, but who's not afraid to beat you up in your conscience a bit and make you examine yourself and make you search for God and for Christ in a greater measure, so that he spurs you on to a growing relationship with God.
Amen. I had one of the listeners sent in a statement here. He says, I'm reading Walter Marshall's Gospel Ministry on Sanctification, and he has an interesting view of assurance. He asserts that we must have an assurance that even though I may find through self-examination that I am a vile sinner, that Christ will save me. What does your guest think? Are you familiar with that book, Dr. Beakey?
Oh, yes.
We're down
yes,
to a book.
I actually printed it.
Oh, great. I have just a minute left, though, if you just want to respond to his statement.
Yes, to walk by faith, by naked faith, as Burgess would say, which he'd agree with Marshall, trusting in Christ alone and be completely broken on by my own sins at the same time and have assurance at the same time because I'm in Christ is possible and is really sweet and really glorifies God.
Hmm. Well, Dr. Beeke, thank you so much. Thank you for your ministry. You guys are putting out excellent, excellent material, especially for pastors like myself. You guys have just been a real resource, a place to really find great books there at Reformation Heritage Books. Thank you so much for your writing in particular and for the specifically on editing this book. We hope that the Lord will mightily bless it in the life of his people.